We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So I called my son before the show and I said, can you get back on those video games and get to work playing NBA 2K? Can you start playing more? In fact, you're with your friends. Can you stop being with your friends? Can you get back online? All right, I didn't say all of those things, but I did ask him if he was pretty good at NBA 2K. My name's Jordana. Thanks for hanging out with me this afternoon. My partner, Paul Douglas, is still back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'll get back to the story about my son in a minute. But he, you know, his father had a mini stroke the other day. Folker, a friend to the show, often contributor. And so Paul flew out yesterday to be with Folker. The update is that he is doing better. He was hoping to be released this afternoon. So Paul says he's hungry. He's ranting about Trump. So things are back to normal again. So seems that Folker is on the mend. And Paul's going to join us at 3:50 to give us a live update as what's going on out there in Pennsylvania. I had such an interesting morning. We here at WCCO were invited over to the Timberwolves. We're partners here, of course. We are your home of the Timberwolves. You can hear them all their games here on CCO Radio, and I hope you do. And they are launching an NBA 2K e-gaming team. You're like, Jordana, what is an e-gaming team? Well, an e-gaming team means that the Timberwolves have a team of video gamers that play as the Timberwolves against other teams, like against the Orlando Magic or any other team in the league that has an e-gaming team. I learned so much about this morning. I'm no newbie to video games. I have a 13-year-old son who, unlike my girls, you know, obviously is much more into video games. It is, I think there's a major gender divide. Many young girls play video games, and they should. Mine play Minecraft and things like that. But some of these sports games and these active shooter games like Fortnite and Apex Legends, the new one, a lot of them are geared, or a lot of the boys play them instead of the girls. But we support the girls playing them too, just not too much. So I was learning all about these e-sports. This is big business, my friend. There are 2 billion gamers worldwide, 380 million global e-sports in the audience. And e-sports is such a growing community. It's completely global because it's streaming. So all you need is internet. You don't need to have, you know, a television network to watch it. You can watch it on YouTube. That's another phenomenon that my kid does. And if your kid does this, let me know how this is going down in your house, because I have some interesting questions for you. But if he's not playing Fortnite in his room on the computer that he built, then he comes downstairs, you know, have a snack because kids got to eat or go to the bathroom or something. And then he watches other people playing Fortnite on his phone. So if he's not playing, he's watching. And this, of course, is after the homework is done. So stop silently judging my parenting. Get over it. So that's what they do. They watch each other. And obviously, you know, regular sports teams have found out about this and are getting on that bandwagon of this captive audience. 380 million global esports watchers in the audience. It's a billion-dollar industry. And it's growing and growing and growing. So what the Timberwolves did is they drafted 6 gamers. There's a full combine. These people compete out of a team of, or I think it's a pool of about 72,000 people. They get down to a couple hundred. And then there's like a draft. Like the Timberwolves have their top 10 picks of what gamers they want on their team. And then they bring them to Minnesota. And the kids live here. The kids, I mean, they're in their 20s. They live here for about 6 months. And they put them up here. They're building a facility. They're building a gaming facility, like a training facility, which looks like a pod with 5 or 6 chairs around it. And they start playing as a team. So you're not going to be following like Cat or Andrew Wiggins. You're going to be following Nacho and JoJo, because these are the names of the gamers that are playing for the Timberwolves. And it is very competitive. These kids are getting paid. And while it might not be a fortune yet, I guarantee you in a few years, they're going to be million-dollar contracts. These kids are going to have a huge following. They're going to be in demand because what they do is they draw eyeballs to the live stream. They live stream on YouTube or a platform called Twitch. Any mom or dad of a 13 to 20-year-old probably knows what that is. It's just a live streaming platform where you can watch other people play video games. And then you can comment on the side. So it's a bit interactive. It's fascinating. And these kids, these gamers, are becoming enormous celebrities. And they're making money. So I'm sitting there in this meeting learning all about this, fascinated by the whole thing. Following them on Twitter now, and you should too. It's T Wolves Gaming. So follow them, and all, you know, obviously they just play NBA 2K. That's and by the way, the NBA I think is the first formal sports franchise to have esports divisions. I'm sure the NFL will follow, maybe Major League Baseball. Who knows? But it's an exciting new aspect in a business sense because we're talking about billions of eyeballs. This is huge. I find myself sitting there in the meeting going, how am I going to get my kid better at NBA 2K? It's something they love. It's something they're already doing. And then one of the guys from the Timberwolves says, by the way, they're giving college scholarships for gamers. I nearly fell out of my seat. We're yelling at these kids, get outside, talk to somebody, get that thing off your head, get out of your room. And now I find they're giving college scholarships because colleges have teams, not just clubs. They have teams, and they're going to be competitive. I mean, no one's going to watch, you know, the sailing team or maybe even the golf team, but they might tune in to the gaming team. They can watch that online on streaming. It is such a new and exciting business. And then I thought to myself, all right, Jor, if Maddox comes home and says, Mom, I want to be a professional gamer, I would not be as enthused. Would you? And I've been thinking about this all day. If your kid says to you, I'd like to start really training to be a professional gamer, what do you do with that? My phone number is 651-989-9226. Parents, what do you do with that? Because they can actually point to professional gamers who are making livings right now doing that. Kids that got college scholarships. It's like you're getting in on the ground floor of a booming industry. How do you not take that seriously? For God's sakes, my dad didn't even take me seriously when I said I wanted to be a news reporter. He's like, oh, don't do that. You just go into PR, make $40,000 a year. You'll be fine. You know, and that was like his, that's what he wanted me to do because he thought that was dreaming too big to even be a news anchor. I showed him, didn't I? Huh? Anyway, but when your kid comes home and says this to you, you're probably going to be torn. Like if my son actually said, and he's probably crappy at 2K, I don't even know. But if he actually said, I'm really serious about this, I want this, as a mother, do I support that? And then do I have to get on the board? I have to, with him spending, you know, 12 hours in his room gaming. And then when I say to him, hey, take a walk, have a break, I'll be like, Mom, I'm training. It's all for my future. How, as a parent, do we combat that? And then, should we? I don't know. It is a brave new world, my friends. Eric's in Blaine. Eric, are you in the same boat I'm in here?
Not quite the same boat, but I think what you do is you treat it almost as if they're playing, they want to go be a professional basketball player for real, or a football player. What are the percentages of people who really make it that far? If you don't make it that far, and that's all you've done, then what? I think, you know, you have to moderate it and say, you know, you need to also have an education.
Yes.
You need to also be able to do these things because you want to be a well-rounded individual. All of the professional sports athletes and different things, they all went to school to some level. Yeah. They all did different things. They're not just one-dimensional.
You know, that's a really good point. And they are offering either college scholarships or you can continue to practice gaming while you're in college if you don't go pro at 18.
Absolutely. But, mm-hmm. you know, how many scholarships are being given out? Are they full rides?
Right.
Even for athletes who are playing the sports, mm-hmm. how many scholarships are truly out there?
Mm-hmm.
How many are you just going and you're walking on and playing and not getting any money? That happens a lot.
Sure. Absolutely. No, you're right. But we have to start taking this stuff seriously.
Absolutely. It is a new world. You've said it exactly right. It's a brave new world. There are new things. There are new ways to get things done. But you have to temper that with some reality as well.
And Eric, I'm not sure how old you are. I'm 46 now, and I remember playing Atari, you know, when we were kids.
Absolutely. I'm 49. I played Atari. I played, you know, in college, you know, for better or worse, we played video games. Mm-hmm. But it was something you did for a half hour, not for hours and hours, right, and hours at a time.
Right. Eric, thanks for the call and the perspective. Appreciate
it. Mm-hmm.
I was talking with JoJo, one of the gamers, one of the players on the T-Wolves gaming team, and he said in college he played on a team. They didn't have scholarships and a formal team, but or a competitive team, but they had a team. And he said, when I realized this could be a career, I started playing more. And he said that was it. It was practice. It was, you know, amount of time on the game. I mean, clearly you need some talent. You need super fast reflexes. You need talent. But he said it's about hours also in front of the screen. He said after he would come home, he also played on his regular basketball team in college. He would come home from practice. He'd game for like 5 hours, try to get some sleep and get up and go to class the next day. That's a hard schedule. That's some serious stuff. But fascinating morning. So again, new team over at the Timberwolves, the T-Wolves gaming team. Really exciting stuff. I'll keep you posted. If your kid's going gaming pro, you know I want to hear about it. Quick break. It's 3:19. When we get back, our old friend Tim Lammers will join us with what movies you should see this weekend.
Creep on in, on in, on in.
Can't believe how big they've got.
You hear Gabe got a boat?
He's kidding, right?
He's not kidding.
Hey, I think it's vodka o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Jason?
Where were you?
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me, and I'll keep you safe.
It seems really, really scary, because it's supposed to. Jordana here. Tim Lammers joining us in just 1 second. Brought to us, of course, as always, by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim, it's scary.
I have to agree with you, Jordana. It is scary.
It's Jordan Peele, right? Now he's into,
yes,
the scary stuff.
He is. You know, he did the Key and Peele sketch comedy, mm-hmm, show, and who knew that buried deep in that creative mind of his, he apparently has a lot of demons, Jordana, that he's exercising, and
mm-hmm,
he's making horror films. You know, I didn't think Get Out was as much a horror film as it was a thriller, a social
commentary,
theme,
yeah.
Thriller. Yeah, commentary, mm-hmm, thriller. This is an out-and-out horror film, although it is thought-provoking. It's a story about this family of four who suddenly in the middle of the night see doppelgangers of themselves. They're,
yeah,
evil twins,
right,
of themselves, and they invade their home, and the family fends off these evil twins, but they only discover by doing that there are a lot more of those sorts out there. So this is a sprawling story in a sense. It'll make you jump. It'll make you shriek. It'll make you laugh at times. There's a lot of great moments of comic relief. I think it's also going to confuse you. I mean, this is not a clear-cut storyline. This is one of those interpret it as you will sorts of movies where you're going to want to go back and you're going to want to look into things a little bit more and try to figure out exactly what was going on.
Okay, is it worth the watch then? Do we have to be horror fans?
I think, look, if you love that theatrical experience, mm-hmm, and I do, you know, where everybody is freaking out in the audience and you know, getting giddy and you can feel it, you can feel the atmosphere, that's a lot of fun. But again, this is not a conventional horror film. I like it in that it's daring. It's not conventional. It's not Mike Myers coming back for another night,
right,
on Halloween, you know, and turns out the same as it did before. This is much different. But again, fair warning, it's very unconventional and outright bizarre at times. But, you know, for me, I just like refreshing. So that's,
sure,
why I like the picture.
Sure. I don't do horror, so... But,
so I guess you will not be going.
You and I will not be discussing this ever again.
Put it away. Put it in the back of your mind.
I don't think when this next one came out in theaters, and this is what's streaming this weekend, but when this one came out in the theaters, I don't think we got a chance to talk about it, and I'm really glad we're about to. Next up streaming, Lammer's pick, is Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins? You came back.
You seem hardly to have aged at all.
Really? One never discusses a woman's age, Michael. Would have hoped I taught you better.
What brings you here after all this time?
Same thing that brought me the first time. I've come to look after the bank's children.
Us?
Oh, yes, you too.
We're about to lose our home. Everything's fallen to pieces since your mother.
I miss mother.
Nothing's gone forever, only out of place.
I know you loved it.
I did. It's one of my favorite films last year. I love musicals anyway, but this one was a tough one, you know, because obviously 54 years have gone by and people still know Mary Poppins as, you know, Julie Andrews as Mary Poppins. So you have Emily Blunt taking on, without question, the most challenging role of her career, and she makes it her own. It actually feels like the old Mary Poppins movie, but it has new music, obviously, a new storyline. It's a sequel, and I think Emily Blunt makes it her own. And if you don't like scary movies, Jordan, this is the one that you have to see this weekend.
Well, I did take the kids to see this in the theater.
Oh, good.
And I think we had expectations because we all loved Mary Poppins so much.
Right.
And it was a little long for us. It was a little long. And I looked around at my kids and I'm like, do you love it? And they're like, not so much. And I know, and it's shocking because it really is. It's beautiful. And the dancing is amazing. And the animation is cool. And when they go into the plate, you know, I mean, there's so many cool things about it.
Right.
But I think and even I was like, meh. And yeah. I wanted to love it. I wanted to love it. And I didn't, maybe because we're just so attached to the first.
Well, you know, the expectation thing is so huge.
It's huge. Okay? Huge.
And to tell you the truth, I mean, as far as going back to Get Out, okay, everybody loved it so much. And by the time I got around seeing it, because I didn't see it when it initially came out,
sure,
the hype was so great that I thought, oh, okay. Now, that meant that my expectations for us was on the lower end, and because of that, I think that expectation thing is huge with people going in. And if you're going to hype yourself, you know, I think that you might, if I watch Get Out again, I might like it a lot better. Much in the same way, if you watch Mary Poppins Returns again, you might like it better the second time.
And she was fantastic. I mean, Emily Blunt was fantastic.
Yeah, she made it her own. I mean, you know, she didn't try to be Julie Andrews. You know, I just, again, I love the fact that I felt that these tunes, even though they were completely original, they felt like they belonged. They felt like they could become classics. You know, I don't know if this film is going to rank amongst the original, you know, years down the line when we look back and say, oh, yeah, that's a classic. I don't know. I don't know yet.
Right.
But for the time being, I can tell you I did see the movie more than once, so that's a good thing.
You are wonderful. I'm trying to think, what else? Oh, I saw Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. And what were your thoughts?
You know what? I really liked it. We love the whole superhero thing in my family, so we try to do that because it spans generations. You know, my husband can sit through it and the kids can sit through it, so it's good. But you know what scene I loved most? The scene where she has this flashback of her getting knocked down as a young girl
and getting back up.
And I have two girls. And just watching that scene, you know, I found myself saying, get up, girl. Go ahead. Get up, girl. You know, I loved it. It was such a women's empowerment movie.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I tell you, the scene I liked the most probably was when she took on the shapeshifter in the form of an older woman in the commuter train car. That was very, very entertaining because that older woman, she had an attitude, I'm telling you. But
that's
Captain
funny.
Marvel and her duked it out on the train car. That was great.
It was great. Yeah, so we really enjoyed that one. So
sure,
I just wanted
sure.
to
Well, that's good. And again, I hope you stayed to the very end because she appears, she's going to be in the new Avengers movie. So everything ties in now.
Uh-huh. We're excited for that one.
Absolutely. And that's coming up in a month already. So
it'll
be here before you know it.
Thank goodness. Tim, you're the best. Thanks for joining us, sir. Have a terrific weekend.
You too as well, Jordana. Talk next week.
Tim Lammers' movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. When we get back, homelessness, it's on the rise in Minnesota. Why and what can we do about it? Next. Homelessness is so shocking that it exists and occurs here in Minnesota because our winters are so brutal. There are days you can't be outside for more than a few minutes, and you think to yourself, I cannot imagine not having a warm, safe, healthful place to go. Yesterday in the Strib, new numbers came out from the Wilder Research Group. They do a study every year about the homeless in Minnesota. They saw a dramatic rise in those seeking shelter who didn't have their own home from 2015, a 62% rise. Either people are couch hopping or seeking refuge in cars, under bridges, and on buses. So why the rise? And more importantly, what are we going to do about it? Joining us now is Michelle Decker-Gerard. She is a senior researcher and study co-director at the Wilder Foundation. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So why the rise? Why do we have so many more people that are homeless?
Well, we do this study every 3 years, and we've been doing it since 1991. And what we do is we go out on a single night, and we interview folks who are staying in shelter and as many as we can who are staying not in shelter. So mm-hmm. some of those situations that you talked about, sleeping in their cars.
And you literally go and knock on car doors and visit people under bridges and wake up people on buses. You actually do that work.
Exactly. We mm-hmm. work with professional outreach workers to help us find people who are staying outside the shelter system. And then we use a lot of volunteers to help us interview people who are staying in shelters. We use over 1,300 volunteers on that single 24-hour period.
Okay, okay. So again, why the rise?
Well, we're really digging into that now. So we do a survey with folks, about a half-hour, 45-minute survey that gets into the factors that contributed to their current homeless situation. From previous studies that we've done, we know that people are facing a lot of obstacles to getting and keeping their housing. So about half of our homeless population has some type of mental health issue, and about half has some type of serious physical health problem as well. And many have trauma and other experiences in their background that might make it difficult to keep housing. So why is there the rise now? Again, we're really going to try to dig into that. That information is going to be coming out in the coming months. But we do know that the rental market in the Twin Cities, as well as greater Minnesota, is extremely tight, the vacancy rate. And so folks with low incomes who might be at the poverty line might be competing for housing with mm-hmm. people who have double incomes and that type of thing. And
I
so
see.
There okay. just isn't enough housing to go around. And there's not enough shelter to go around at this point. The shelters are pretty much at capacity on any day.
So what do we do? I mean, what do we do about this? You're saying the shelters are at capacity. I mean, I can't believe that people can actually survive being on the streets in Minnesota winters.
Minnesota winters are really difficult, as we all know, as we're all just getting through. And so these people are cobbling together day to day places to stay. So they might stay a night on a couch and a night in their car and a night riding a transit, either the train or the bus. So it's really trying to figure it out. And so one of the questions on our survey is, where did you stay during the last 30 days?
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a wide variety of places for many people. So what do we do about it? I think there's a lot of different things we can do and a lot of ways we can approach it. First, it's trying to prevent people from becoming homeless, so everyone can contribute to that effort. So if you know of a family or an individual who is facing a crisis, sometimes it might be a health crisis, sometimes it might be a temporary financial mm-hmm. crisis. Many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And so it's trying to as good neighbors, trying to, you know, step up and try to help people out if they're having a temporary situation like that.
Okay.
And then for folks who might not have the support of community or family or friends, there is structures or systems that need to be put in place to help those folks. So, again, our shelters are full, mm-hmm. and then there's not enough affordable housing for people. And so to address those at sort of a whole community level and state level.
Describe who the homeless are. You know, we often think of somebody who might be mentally ill, or a lot of people think, oh, it's somebody who's lazy and doesn't want to work and wants a handout. So who are these people that you're waking up on buses and finding under the bridges?
Well, the population is as varied as all the people you know in your life. So we have almost half of our homeless population are 24 and younger. So it's a huge percentage of the population are children with their parents. About a third of homeless people are children with their parents. And so that might not be what your traditional perception is.
Mm-hmm.
There are homeless folks that are working. And so, again, we're digging into those numbers. But traditionally, about a third of our homeless population has employment. It might not be enough employment to be able to afford a rental unit, but they are employed. So that's true for much of the population. And again, there's women who are facing trauma or fleeing domestic violence situations. There's older adults who may, again, be living on a fixed income and might not be able to afford housing but not qualify for other services. So I think that surprises people that we're finding a big increase in the number of older adults who are homeless,
yeah,
but a 25% increase in that population over the previous study. And again, our aging population is, our whole population is aging. So our older adult homeless population is rising at those rates as well. That's affected by just the aging of our
state. It always shocks me to find out that homeless people have jobs. Many have full-time jobs, and they still cannot afford housing. Or the older folks that might be on Social Security, and it's still not enough to keep them safe. It's such a...
Exactly.
It's sad. I know I'm just venting my frustrations, and you're doing the best you can to figure it all out. But I especially in Minnesota, you know, this is just too big of a problem to have.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things that always surprises me is to go into emergency shelter where, you know, it could be cots or mats on the floor and see somebody who has an oxygen machine or has to, who is a diabetic and has to figure out a place to keep their insulin cold and that type of thing. So, you know, I think we really do need to develop a lot of options for people that they can afford.
Is it getting better, Michelle? And last question before I let you go. I mean, are you optimistic that we're on a path toward finding solutions? I mean, because the number is rising, so it doesn't seem that way.
Right. Yeah, there are some signs of optimism in sort of depressing news. So the number of families is going down. So we had a 5% decrease in the number of families experiencing homelessness. And there are a lot of efforts in our state to try to get those families into housing as quickly as possible. So that is really promising news. And so I think it is sort of taking that tailored approach to making sure that we address people as individuals and try to find something that will work for them.
Michelle Decker-Girard, Senior Researcher and Study Co-Director at the Wilder Foundation, thank you for the time and the education today.
Thank you.
You got it. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart every time because I know so many of these people are working or they're down on their luck or they had an emergency and didn't have a backup. Like how many of us have been through a divorce or a medical emergency or an accident or a job loss? Come on, who hasn't lost their job? We've all been there. And if you are paycheck to paycheck, or even if you have a few months built up and you can't find something right away that can keep you at the same level, it's really tough. I have a lot of empathy for folks out there. I'm glad they're fighting the good fight, Michelle and her team. I know you've all been waiting. We were very concerned to hear that Paul's father, Volker, had a mini stroke earlier this week, and then many of you urged Paul to go on out to Pennsylvania and visit with him. Paul made that decision. The next day, his father was not getting better. He's joining us now on the phone with an update because we've been worried. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Jor.
We've been worried.
I just drove him home. So he's back home, and they released him, and they're still not exactly sure why his blood pressure dropped to 60. But they think he had a mini stroke, and they're urging him to drink more water. He may have been dehydrated. That may have led to it. But the doctor was like, you know, we just don't really know why his blood pressure dropped so much. But we think, we can't prove he had a TIA.
Okay.
But I have to say, our listeners, I was in the studio Wednesday, and I related that my father had a stroke, and I'm not sure whether to go. And a few people called in, a few of our listeners called in and said, basically, hey, Paul, if you have to ask the question, go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather, you know, err on the side of caution and wouldn't want to look back and say coulda, shoulda, woulda.
You wouldn't. And I'm glad he was, I'm sure he was glad to see you, but I'm also sure that you were a huge help to your sister, Joan, who's there by herself. You know, that's your only other sibling living in Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's not just about folk or you. It's about the caregiver, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Joan was running on fumes, so I needed to call in the reinforcements, give her a little bit of a break. But he's home. He's wearing his Paul and Jordana T-shirt, and he sends his love. And so, you know, one day at a time. But thank you for letting me come east and just make sure that Dad was okay.
Well, we're glad you're there. Are you going to spend the weekend?
Yeah, I'm coming back Sunday, and, you know, the flooding very much on my mind, and that's going to be an ongoing story here for the next few weeks. So,
sure. I just gave the forecast, by the way, and you know what I got to say? I got to say that it's 57 and sunny tomorrow.
57. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hot dang. It's windy and cold and wet here. I'm glad it's nice somewhere, but the faster it gets to 60, you know, the greater the odds the flooding is going to be worse. So I have really mixed feelings about upper 50s. Yeah, of course, everybody's going to love it. But if you're living near a river, it's like, oh, boy, here we go.
Right. A little bit of a challenge. Just wanted to let you know that the forecast is always good when I do the weather.
Well, okay. I'm okay with that. I'm going to let you do it more often.
No. Please come home. I mean, I'm glad you're there. But, you know, we certainly have been we've been missing you here, and we've really been worried about Folker. And I think everybody agrees when in a situation like this, always the right thing to go home. So we're glad you're there, but we're glad you're calling in today, too. You want to stay for the rest of the show? We only have one more hour, you know.
You really? I'm more out of the loop than usual. I can tell you what meds my father is taking and what he's supposed to do, his discharge orders. But I think our listeners don't want to hear all those sordid details.
No, I think you both need, now that you're both home safely, I think it's time to maybe open up, you know, the schnapps or a nice German beer or whatever, and you guys relax and have a nice Friday night.
That sounds like a good time. Yep. Take nothing for granted, right?
All right. Kisses to Folker, and please say hi to Joan and take care of all three of you.
Thank you, Jor. You take care. Have a lovely weekend. Give my love to listeners and say hi to Susan for me.
Certainly. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Susan. Paul says hi.
Thanks back. Hi to you.
He sends his love. He sends his love to you, too. When we get back, did you see this very cool piece in the Strib about where the Minneapolis skyways come from? I feel like a darn fool because I've been telling everybody that comes to visit, oh, well, it's so cold here. We had to build the skyways to keep downtown vibrant. Well, if I wasn't lying to them, that is a lie, and that is not why it happened. And the Strib did a great piece. They have this new segment, Curious Minnesota. They did this great piece about the skyways and why, in fact, they were invented. And I have been just spreading lies and mayhem to all the visitors that have been coming to Minnesota. Also, a reminder, we're doing the happy hour, but early. We have a Timberwolves game. Oh, no, it's a Twins game. I'm sorry, Twins game. Twins preseason game at 5 o'clock. Our show is off the air at 5, but happy hour an hour early at 4:35. We'll talk after the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.